Welcome to Big Blend Radio. We've already got the giggles, but listen, You just heard Gaslight. That's from the Starlight Band or Starlight Campbell Band's second album. It's called The Language of Curiosity. It is out on November 5th. So remember the 5th of November, you've got to go to this website, starlight-campbell.com, and go get the album. But actually, you can pre-order it right now. We're super excited because we have Susie and Simon from Starlight and Campbell Band joining us, as well as travel and wine and now music writer Hillary Larson back on the show. So Hillary's been on our show for years. She talks about wine, history, travel. Music. Her husband, Craig, is an incredible winemaker out in Temecula, California. But they do travel and like to go to places, especially England. I remember the last time talking about Deal England. You were talking about music.
Mm-hmm. That was for music too. Yeah.
You guys know wine, have excellent taste in wine, but also excellent taste in music. And so listening to Susie and Simon, I have to say, like, hats off. Like,
aren't they
well
fam?
Done? Well
They're
done.
Awesome.
They're awesome. Amazing. You guys are awesome. This is fantastic.
Party time.
This is great. You know, normally we say, don't date the band, but apparently the band dated each other. What happened here?
No, you dated a drummer. That's different.
No, you dated the drummer. I dated the bass player.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
Well, it's a family thing, but that sounds bad now. That sounds really bad.
That sounded really bad.
I know. And we're recording this while we're in the South, you know, just saying. But Susie, Simon, how did you guys meet? And welcome.
Thank you so much. Well, we met on the, it's lovely to speak to you, by the way. You're great ladies already. We've only been chatting a couple of minutes, but we're having a great time. Yeah, we met on the Isle of Man. And we decided to... Simon heard that I was a songwriter, and Simon had just released a solo album because we both had independent careers. And so Simon said, right, I'm going to get you a band together. He ended up being the guitar player in my band with my songs, and we accidentally fell in love.
Accidentally.
We didn't even, other people saw it and we didn't, because we were friends, you know, we just love playing together. So we fell in love.
And then good for you.
An adventure together,
look at his smile. Look at him. He's
like, I'm blushing. Okay.
Oh, I have to say about the Isle of Man, my grandfather on my mom's side was born on the Isle of Man and apparently has a castle. And it's a Holroyd castle.
And now it's an apartment building.
Yeah, I know. Apparently it's an apartment building. But I should go claim it. It's mine, damn it.
We could have a concert in the castle.
Yeah.
Why not?
Absolutely. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's fun.
What's it called, the castle?
It's Holroyd. Holroyd.
That's our family name. And apparently we had witches out there too.
Yeah, he had 16 brothers and one sister. Oh. Yeah, wow. I know. I love. Somebody was very busy in the night.
Yeah, it's a small island.
It is. I mean, with a lot of rain, and there you go again.
They do a lot of driving out there. So, did you guys live out in the Isle of Man, or were you just there at the time? Wow.
Yeah, we lived there for. I moved there in 2007, and you moved in 2009.
Yeah, independently.
Yeah. So and that was it. So we fell in love, and then we moved. To France. We moved to France. Yeah.
Oh, with the vineyards are like dancing ladies.
Yeah. Hillary's approving, I know. Hillary.
Dancing ladies in the vineyards? The can-cans over the vineyard ladies.
When you look, it's like their ruffled skirts and their legs and the whole field of dancing. It was very romantic. So we decided that we had to sample French wine. All of it.
Oh, well. That you need to go back. You're not done.
Yeah, everything. We had 6 months of getting to know each other and cooking each other lunch and playing each other's music. We take it in turns.
That's
I play my collection one day, and Simon would play his collection the next day with wine, a good home cooked food, and
good.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
and that's fun.
And now you're in Lisbon. Today you're in Lisbon.
That's we are right. Indeed, yeah.
Yeah. So we've been on a journey. So from France, we went to Spain, and then we were in Spain for 4 years, and then we went back to the Isle of Man, and then we moved to Germany and for 18 months, and then we've recently been here about 10 months.
They sound like us.
I know, but okay, wait a minute. So you went to Spain. Is that where you filmed Gaslight?
No. Here.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but yeah, but it was good.
That's a good question.
We filmed it the other day, a couple of weeks ago here.
Really?
So, yeah.
Cool. I loved it. I loved the video.
Yeah. Right.
It's great.
Who's doing the music? Like, there's you guys, right? And you both play multiple instruments. So you're not, you know, the bass. And by the way, singing on bass, how the hell do you do that?
Yeah, really? How do you separate your mind?
Well, you know, take a bit of muscle memory.
I know.
No, yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah.
And, I can do this.
When I start off sometimes, I sound a little bit not quite right, you know, because I go, then I start to sing properly. But it just takes a little time. But first of all, I let the music sort of groove me through, and usually the melodies can kind of flow together. But
Wow. So Hillary, I want to know how you heard about Susie and Simon. When was Starlight Campbell? Where did Campbell's got a little bit of Scots in there, right?
Yeah.
Poquito.
Poquito.
Well, actually,
as always with most music related things, it's all Craig's fault. And I asked him the other night, I said, do you remember how and when you first heard of Starlight Campbell Band? And he said, you know, I can't. It's like, we've always known Susie and Simon.
Oh, wow.
And he thought about it. He said, well, it was definitely, he said, I'm sure it was on Facebook, because that's really the only social media place that Craig inhabits. And we think it was around the time that Blueberry Pie, their first album, came out. And he must have seen it on some other blues artist recommending, you know, how everybody shares great things. And he saw that it was in vinyl. And of course that made eyes and ears and all his spidey senses go off. And the rest is history, as they say.
Well, but no, wait, you did a detour because you were going to Italy for wine tasting. In November of 2000, what year are we in now?
19. I know, it seems like ago, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we had planned to go to Italy because, you know, wine and us for vacations. And we had made plans to go to Campania, to the Tarassi area in Italy, which we did do. But as Craig mentioned this on back and forth with Simon, I think it was, and Simon said, well, why don't you, you know, seeing as you're coming this way, why don't you just make a quick little stop? We're doing this show in, okay, I'm going to butcher the name. So be kind.
Here we go.
To Bari.
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 Is that close? Okay, because I've heard it pronounced so many ways. But
you think of a
town, it was Simon's hometown. In the northern part of Greater Manchester, I believe, but in just north, and it feels quite different and quite wonderful when you're there. And why don't you just come by and visit us? We're doing this concert there. It'll be fabulous. So of course we said yes. And that was our detour and a trip of, we counted, I think, 7 plane flights, 2 trains.
Simon.
Lots of Ubers and a rental car, but we packed it all in and we were really glad we did. And
oh my God, that's great. Awesome.
And you think that the downloads you've heard so far in the videos are wonderful. You got to see them live.
Have an energy, and I think
that's
there's
always
something
the best
to do with that. And you're playing at the Met, and you're going to do it again this year, right? The Met. I was looking at your touring schedule. The Met. And so when you think of the Met, I'm like, what, are we going to New York?
Metropolitan Opera.
I know. I'm like, go for it. But there is an energy just watching your videos and watching some of your live shows on, you know, live performances on video. And it's great that we can experience it while we're here, you know, across wherever you like the, can you say over the pond while you're in Lisbon?
Lisbon. Hello.
I need some wine. But anyway, so you get this, you know, you can feel the energy. I can only imagine, you know, live shows, we're all missing live music terribly. Oh, it's like you don't take your daily medicine. It's like, it's, you know, it's your vitamins or vitamins, as you want to say. But the live show, from what I've seen, you guys have a connective energy that I wonder, like, can you get that connected if you weren't in love? I wonder about that part of it. Or are you that connected if you're angry at each other? Ooh.
Ooh, good question.
I think the thing is, we are that connected when we're angry at each other, because because we work and we live together, but being locked down as well, where we couldn't actually go out and do gigs and stuff, it's been tough, you know? And, we're both very independent, and of course, we're both always right. Which is, you know, can be a problem. So, you know,
we understand. I'm always right.
There is some sparks, or our sparks, fly in our house, quite, especially when we're writing music as well, because creative between us, you know, because we tend to write either individually or between us.
Yeah.
You know, we're adding into each other's songs, or we write completely together. And there's always that tension, you know. But I think you've got to have that. You've got to have a little bit of, what's the word? Friction between.
Yes.
Otherwise, everything will go one way. And what you need is that friction just to pull it back, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's no sex without friction.
No.
Absolutely.
Hello. What kind of show is this again?
Well, what do you think music is about?
The usual big blend. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm getting
well, at least it's big.
You know, it is a big blend.
It is.
We have many lovers that come every night. But no, I'm just kidding. But no, but I think it's awesome just watching it. And you've got other people playing with you though, right? When you are on stage, do you have other performers? I know with the album listening and everyone, again, the album's out November 5th, pre-order. So you got a lot of people on the album with you too, right? Or are you doing it on your own? Like, what's going on with that?
So we have a session guy who's our go-to drummer called Steve Gibson. And Steve and I, Simon and Steve knew each other for years and years. But it was the first time that we played together when we did Blue Bee Pie. But Steve's our go-to drummer. And we bond. As a rhythm section, we now know, you know, we're together. And it's like I understand his playing, he understands mine. And we have those dynamics. And we have that kind of friction with each other as well. So you've got that rhythm section. And we're really blessed as well because we happen to know some really beautiful keyboard players. So on Blueberry Pie and on The Language of Curiosity, our new album, we've got Johnny Henderson, who plays with Matt Schofield. And then we also gigged with Josh Phillips, who's the full-time member of Procol Harum. So he was speaking with us a couple of years ago. We have Gabriele Del Vecchio, who's an Italian living in Valencia, Spain, and he comes on tour with us, and he's on the new album, The Language of Curiosity. And then for our live tour, as well as some of the tours that we've done before, we've got a really good friend of Simon's from years ago. Christian's played on Simon's first two solo albums as well. Yeah. It's a guy called Christian Madden, who's a keyboard player from up north. But he happens now to be the Hammond player for Liam Gallagher's band. So coming out on the road with us in a couple
of weeks.
We're going out. Cool. And it's great because he's very troublesome. He's a great player, but we have really good debates, you know, as well. And it's really good.
If it's related to the Gallaghers, there's going to be a debate and maybe something going out a hotel room window.
Troublesome.
Well, Christian really is troublesome. And the funny thing was is that like 2 weeks ago he was Liam Gallagher was headlining in Reading and Leeds, which are two big festivals in the UK, and there's like 150,000 people there, you know, and Christian's playing, and then you know you see him walk on stage, and it's very very odd that you see him there, and then you're going to see him with us playing in front of 300 or 400 people, you know, it's like
or a festival
or a festival or whatever. It's like
not that big.
It's quite bizarre, but he's a great guy, and I've known
proper
him for
musician.
Years, and he loves talking politics, and that is where he's got a degree from the London School of Economics, so he's a bright lad. It's always an intellectual challenge, especially.
Yes, indeed, a lubrication.
You must have the lubrication, you know. So what was it like seeing them at the Met, Hillary? I mean, you were saying that, you know, seeing them live was amazing, but what does it feel like? What is the venue like? And everyone, Hillary's got an article on her and Craig's adventures in Manchester. It's up on blendradioandtv.com. We'll also be featured in our upcoming news, Celebrate the Arts magazine. We had to go and expand magazines because something's wrong with us. But what was it like at the Met? What was it?
Well, it was wonderful. It's a small venue.
Nice.
It's a wonderful artsy venue, and they have all kinds of different known names and some new and upcoming names playing there. And it's the stage is a great size, so Susie and Simon can roam around at will. It's when we were there, there is seating, but they had tables and chairs, so you could sit there and bring in your beer or your glass of wine.
Yay.
And just relax and sit back and enjoy the music. But of course, we were up dancing more than sitting because it's really hard to sit still for a lot of their tunes. Mm-hmm. But it's a lovely little venue, and they have a nice, very small, so get there early, lounge in the front of the theater. And actually, we were very fortunate because a lot of Simon's family came to see them, and we got to meet them all, and they were absolutely lovely and so
awesome.
Welcoming. We felt like a member of the clan by the time it was all said and done.
That
and then right next door, as I mentioned in the article, We got there early. We took the tram up from Manchester, which is a super ride. I think it's about half an hour, maybe a little less. And we were wandering around and looking for a place to have dinner. And we saw this restaurant. We thought, well, that's very cute. Ooh, that looks nice. So we go in and we asked the waiter, I said, how far away are we from the Met? And he said, you're basically in the Met. It's right next door. So fate played a hand right there. But yeah, it's a awesome super venue. It's really easy to get to. It's intimate. And the acoustics were great. Mm-hmm. And you're not all, you know, closed in a little seat and restricted. You can actually get up and dance.
I love that. So many shows you see in this country now of people in like casinos and stuff. And we went and saw what, Three Dog Night and, oh my gosh, I can't. Who does Spinning Wheel?
Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And we went and saw them this one, you know, and I grew up listening. Nancy, you know, would be, you will listen to this.
Yes. Go to hear some music.
You will listen to this. So I grew up.
Horrible woman.
I know. I mean, it's great music. And it's some of my favorite music. And so for me and for her, she's like, oh, you know, but of course half the band isn't there anymore, the original band, but still excited. And it's all in this seating where everybody has to sit and just, it was like so, it was cold. I remember that. And people not dancing. And it's like, and if you do move in your seat, sit down. How can you listen to music and be told to sit down?
Well, I stood.
You can't.
I stood up. And I'm like, stand up.
Get up.
Yeah, nobody's going to tell you two to sit down.
No, you got to have the wiggy butt. We talk about it. You got to have the little shake of tail feathers, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear this. But now Bury is your hometown, Simon. Tell us a little about this. How small is the town, or is it a village, or is it a city?
Well, it's, I mean, compared with America, of course, everything is small in England, really, except for London, which London is big. But, you know, Manchester itself, the centre now, because a lot of people have moved back into the centre. A lot of cities in the UK, not a lot of people lived in the city, really. It was unusual, there were shops and stuff, but more and more people have moved into the city of Manchester. Mm. It's a bigger place. And is it about 3 million people who live sort of within sort of that greater Manchester area? So it's not all that big. And Bury is to the north, about, as Hilary said, it's about half an hour by tram, about 8-9 miles. It's not far from Manchester United football ground, which is soccer, of course. That is
I love that. Football,
soccer and Manchester City soccer stadium. So it's quite a working class area. Mm-hmm. Because there were an awful lot of mills, because Manchester was the home of the Industrial Revolution, of course. So, you know, still a lot of there's still a lot of mills around there which are now being converted.
Yeah.
And this venue, the Met, I played there like 30 years ago, you know, within my earlier band, more than that, probably 35 years ago. And it's all been refurbished. But these halls were like built by the Victorians, so they're like quite grand and, you know, with all mouldings on the ceiling and
cool,
you know, thing. So there's a lot of history in Bury, you know. And the our claim to fame, I think, from Bury is that the father of the World Police Force, Robert Peel, was born in Bury. So there you are.
Oh,
so
wow.
He was the one who started the police in England or the UK. And then, of course, police popped up all over the world following that, you know, so they are.
What a popular dude.
With their little, those little, what you call it, those little, the little batons. Well, I remember.
Truncheons.
Oh, well, that's like, they will truncheon. The baton, like, I will get you with the little hats. Yeah, you know, it's. You know, it's interesting when you think about all the towns that England is in the Industrial Revolution. We were up in Erie, Pennsylvania last year, around this time.
Oh, yeah.
And the Industrial Revolution happened. We went to some of the historic homes, and that you just know, like, it just, there is a repressing feeling in a way. And we've seen parts of that also when we lived in England, that everything's brick and working, really just, you go in there and you just know people are, it's blood, sweat, and tears. Here we are working really hard. Mm-hmm. And in that kind of situation, you do need a good pub and you definitely need good music to get
through. Absolutely.
And I think some of the best music comes out of places like that. And, you know, architecture, mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on this with you, Hillary, because you kind of saw like the Victorian, the goth, you're all into that too. So you saw like a little bit of everything, right? Going to the Industrial Revolution architecture, and that also brought about brutalism, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's a real mix. And as Simon says, it's so many more people are moving into the city center. And you can see everywhere, there's cranes, you know, construction cranes and new apartment buildings going up around the old, was it Salford Docks area and all these different, which used to be factories and canals for shipping the cotton down through the canal to Liverpool and out to the rest of the empire and the rest of the world. But so you've got this wonderful mix of these beautiful, you know, the Victorian buildings that were constructed due to the enormous wealth from the Industrial Revolution, mixed with really modern sort of post-war 1950s, 60s, 70s, sort of plain, harsh reality, you know, new buildings, and then all these beautiful modern buildings going up. So it's a real mix. And you know, you walk down the street and there was one neighborhood where we went to go to the Rylands Library, which was our choice because in our limited time, as I explained in the article, we had to kind of, you know, just pick and say, okay, we'll get the rest when we come back next time sort of thing. And so we were on our way to this, you know, edifice of the epitome of Victorian neo-Gothic. And there's all these brand new buildings and this huge civic center and auditorium and lots of glass. And even on the Rylands, they have an addition. When you walk in, you don't go in the old original entrance, you go in from the side. And it's all very, very modern. So it's this wonderful mix, and it's a mix of people and it's a mix of cultures. It's, you know, they pride themselves on being very exclusive and welcoming people of all different persuasions, be it sexual persuasions or religions, everything. It's this huge melting pot.
It's a blend.
Yeah. It's a blend.
Listen, and that's the best wines are big blends, right?
That's right. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Wow. Did you find wine in Manchester or did you?
We did. Beer? It wasn't made in Manchester, but
it was made in Wales. Sorry.
We found a couple of wonderful wine bars. One of them was Spanish and had a fabulous selection. And little did I know I'd end up doing my Spanish wine scholar study. So there you go. There's a little hint of foreboding there. In the hotel where we stayed, it's one of those, it's called the Motel One. It's a German chain. And the rooms are really nice and comfy, but as standard in Europe, they're quite on the small side, but they have a beautiful sort of lounge seating area, like a giant living room in the lobby. And they had some really nice Rhone blends. So we spent many an evening just hanging out and people watching and talking about our day and enjoying a glass or two of wine.
That is nice. About European traveling. We were just talking with a friend. They're like, well, we went over to Scotland and the rooms are really tiny in these historic places. I'm like, well, it's like when you go to San Francisco, New York, you know, everything was small, but they do have the grand living space.
Yeah.
And so it is like that. What's it like in Portugal? I mean, and you guys are you going to travel to and stay in another country? I mean, what's going on?
Well, it is a very good question because we did the whole Brexit thing. So, not in the European Union anymore, politically or structurally, financially, anything. So it's completely outside. So now we had to choose where we wanted to be. So we didn't really want to be in England. For various reasons. I mean, our music connects a lot with the the Northern Europeans, Germany, the Dutch, Scandinavia, and Poland, and that whole northern bit of Europe there is a really very good area for us. And to tour up there, I mean, it's a long way because it's like the USA, you know, we're in Lisbon, and it's about, I think to get to like the middle of Germany somewhere, it's about 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles. Yeah. So it's like, it's a long way. But you can drive there without any problems. And we're off on tour next month, of course. We're traveling at the end of this month. And we've now got to get a carné, so you've got to put all your stuff on a big list, and you've got to have insurance to go to the UK now. It's crazy. But anyway, but we had to make a decision where we wanted to be. So we'd never been to Portugal. I came 40 years ago. Susie had never been.
No.
So we thought, well,
let's do it.
Where's the wine?
Why not?
Yeah.
Where's the sun?
Cool.
How bad could it be?
People.
We came because the people are full of the reputations that are very loving and very accepting. And we thought, well, you know, we need to be somewhere where we can flourish as well and be part of the community. And with the sunshine, as you say, and and the wine, and just that quality of life. And the fact that, you know, we can travel to, and also we're in Europe, so we need to be in Europe for work. So it just made it just, we're prepared to travel in the van of rock. That's what we
Well, yeah, we understand. Well, I think it's really interesting too with Europe. So many musicians, especially blues musicians that have been on our show, in America, it's like, I mean, we have good blues festivals and everything here, but to really, they have to go to Europe, and it isn't always England. You're right about that. They maybe do a side thing in Britain, maybe go to Ireland, you know, maybe the Isle of Man, but it's really up in Spain and Italy, Germany for sure, Belgium, that they really kick butt in. And it's like, and then when it comes to distributing their album, they have the British and the European version versus the American version. And when we lived in South Africa, we always got the English music, like, you know.
Right.
So it was very interesting coming to, it's just different. So what's it like being, like, if you're based in Portugal, do you have to do different ways of, like, distributing your album? Or is it better because you've got streaming now? What's it like on that level for people to get your album?
Well, the thing, I'm sorry for answering again, because it's not my area.
I got a question for Susie. I want to talk about Moogs, Moog.
Well, you can, no problem. The thing about distribution, we have our distribution now with CRS, which is a company in the Netherlands, Holland, and they do the whole of Europe. So it's really, really good. Getting stuff into the UK now because of the customs and everything is more difficult, but we have our distribution in Europe, and they distribute into England as well. So but it's you know, but the Dutch are very, very good business people, and they're honest, which is another thing. I mean, with Dutch people, you always get what you get.
Straight.
There's no, there don't seem to be much messing about. You know, if they tell you something, it's like that. You know what we're talking about. There's no ambiguity, you know.
No, yes, that's yes.
So and we like that, and that's why we're and also they're very popular. I mean, they're, you know, this distributor CRS, they're one of the biggest in Europe for the roots and blues rock music that we do.
But we ship worldwide, so it's, you know, it doesn't really. I mean, that's great for Europe, but we ship to the States as well. So
I know, because Hillary, you got to have the album.
Yeah,
we do too.
Oh, we've been waiting for this for so.
We've been planning this interview for so long.
Yeah,
you know. After we saw you guys, Edering and Craig in the UK, and we came back from a gig at the Half Moon in Putney, and we were in Germany at the time, and that was it. Poof! You wouldn't imagine.
Who knew? I know.
And so, because our drummer lives in the UK, it was we'd got most, well, half the album done, but we couldn't actually. It because we need to be in the same room. You've got to record together. It's that fun, that alive, you know, the soul, as you say, that chemistry. So we just couldn't, and you know, we just couldn't do it. So we had to be patient, which is really obscure. So we just carried on writing, and you know, and as you know, that life was in isolation. We were trying to make little videos and just keep busy, really, and keep hold on to a sense of reality. But so this whole language of curiosity is interesting, because we've where we were talking about the other day, it started off a bit in Spain. We've recorded some of it and written some of it in Germany, and then written the rest of it in Portugal. So wow. It has been a curiosity mm-hmm. of a journey as well, and observing like different things in life. Like one song is all about on casual sex on and dating apps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually you Ride On Cowboy.
Yes, I remember you performed Ride On Cowboy at the Met.
Yes.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's right. I think that was the first time that we did that. And what I love about that song is that whenever we've played it, we played it at Sheffield as well, and the ladies, they were lassoing with me. In the It's so liberating. So we've got it is. Perspectives on life, like, you know, just like the gatekeeping of the music industry, you know, and just writing about the perspective of that, you know, about, you know, when you book a gig, it's not just about your music. It's about, you know, can you pull a big enough crowd? The guys, or so they've got to make money out of you. Just all those things, and going to work with promoters, you know, who actually don't even listen to your music. They just tell you how much they're going to charge you.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You know, and it's all those, it's that, and we call it bad sign. Which is, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, you went straight in for the money?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
And there's also like a feel-good thing, like the title track is The Language of Curiosity, you know? Yeah. It's my life now. It's all different, like hugging strangers in a neon-lit cafe or mm-hmm. so, you know, trashing magazines or, you know, going off into space. It's all this kind of nutshell of a trip of curiosity of life now. Yeah. And the one that we really love is what we love them all because they're like our children. But they are. But the one that really touches our heart is the song Take Time to Grow Old. And that's going to be our single release the album on Guy Fawkes Day or November 5th. Because it's all about, in fact, this is something that you feel strongly about as well, isn't it? The contemporaries of ours.
Yeah, because we sort of wrote it with a mind to, because I'm 63, and there's a lot of my contemporaries that have sort of, you know, they've gone into sort of grandfather and grandmother mode, which is not a bad thing, but they've stopped doing all the stuff that is exciting, sort of growing old before the time. So, you know, and it's all about, you know, doing something dangerous every day, even if it's whatever it is, you know, it's
cool.
A bit more. So that's basically what it's about.
Yeah, about finding asking yourself, what is it that you want to do? Because I think sometimes you just drift through, and especially with lockdown, you can go into like a cycle, and it's like stop and write down on a list. What are your dreams? What would you do in a 5-year plan? What would you like to achieve? And actually go and do some of those things and push yourself. So it's trying to inspire people, you know?
You can find joy in the worst circumstances.
You can. And I think that's the things that we've really learned to do is like, can you with joy, that's your way of fighting. By maintaining on to your joy, not to be ashamed or just because there's enough, so much sadness in the world when you look at it on a global level, all different cultures, all different things going on. But it's not, I'm not ashamed to feel joy. When I do, it's like, yes, you know, and that's when you want to share it, like fire, you know, come on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're always chasing joy. That's it. It's like, you know, joy chasers, you know? And that's why we have wine. You put joy in a bottle.
Yeah.
But listen, you've got some merchandise out there too. Hillary, come on, do the fashion show.
Okay. All right. This actually came in the mail yesterday afternoon.
Woo-hoo! I like it.
Had a talk about the dreaming. I had a crazy dream. And like you say, it's a joyful little motto, isn't it? I mean, really, if you can't laugh, even if something really ticks you off and makes you angry, you still have to find a way to laugh about it, because you don't want to hold all that negative energy. You don't want to send more of that out into the ether. You want to send music and joy and positivity and light out there, not dark, nasty stuff. There's enough people doing that.
Yeah, really. I think people need to make fun of themselves. Sometimes I think there's a group of animals up there playing chess. And they're like, let's do that to the humans. Oh, okay, then I'm going to do
They must
that.
Be cats.
Well, I'm going to do that cats. Yeah, they're curious. They got curiosity. Yeah, you know, and then a moose comes along and just charges across the board. Take that, humans. you tore down my forest.
I think that's music. I mean, just over this whole COVID pandemic, which is changing all the time. I mean, I can only imagine putting a tour together. Oh. You know, we have had detours. Oh. It's like every other day, something has changed. This town is, we've been like, we're on our way and the town closed down. Yeah. We're under an emergency because of the pandemic. We have so many COVID patients. Hotels will close and be used. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've had that kind of thing. And so you can plan something and it's kind of hard because like when, mm-hmm. as I'm one of those people, when I plan, it's everything in it. You know what I mean? Like I don't do things halfway. And so this COVID thing is really hard because it kind of makes you be halfway people.
When one of her plans falls through, there's a whole lot attached to it. So it's like a landslide. Like if you just say, I'm going to go there, and that's your only plan, and it falls through, that's the only thing that fell through. But her plans,
it's radio interviews, it's magazines, it's
like a whole
it's like you skidded on
giant domino effect.
A very difficult, but putting a mm-hmm. concert together, you got to think of people buying tickets, you got to think of all of that. So it's got to have been a little stressful, but it's exciting too. I mean, how much wine have you had? Let's just speak by bottles at this point.
I know. How about cases?
Well, let's put it this way. We now go to the recycling at midnight. People
hear all that clinking as you throw the
bottle. I know. So when we pets it across the country. And so you get to put the garbage out and they have the recycling cans. And we always go, oh, thank God they have the recycling and we get to do the trash. And so you hear the trash trucks come around and we're like, that's right, we were here. Like
Christmas bells, you know, ding, 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 ding.
It's like, hey, we were happy. What's it? You know, we didn't let the cat loose. You know, everybody's still fine. The cat's drinking the wine with us, but you know, it's okay. But this is so cool. I mean, I love the fact that we're all in different places around the world, mm-hmm. and you're going to go out traveling again. But I do. Our next longer destination is Asheville, North Carolina, and they have a prog rock fest, and they also have a Moog museum. Which I feel I need to go. And I feel like I need to call you, Susie, while I'm there and put you on video. Have you been there? tell us about this, the Moog, the world of Moog. Yeah. The world according to Susie and Moog.
Susie ends up playing them because she's using fabulous instrument there. It's rentless. And all that happened with the Moog, I mean, I got a Moog guitar some time ago, which is a very unusual thing. It's like
Wait a minute. You have a Moog guitar.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Oh.
See, I think of synthesizers when I think of Moog. Oh, I feel like...
It's not actually a synthesizer. It was a development they made some years ago. And they are fiendishly difficult to play because they're almost uncontrollable, but they really take off too well. But I've got one, and it is fantastic. I use it on a lot of the records, and it's quite ethereal. It's a beautiful thing. But the thing is with Susie is that she's, as I said, we said we need some bass pedals. She says, I'm not playing bass pedals. I'm not playing bass, and I'm not playing pedals, and I'm not singing.
That's right.
I'm playing keyboard at the same time.
Yeah.
So now she plays pedals, bass, keyboard.
Yeah, see?
And because she's in the town.
It's actually and like...
So she's like the Geddy Lee of Lisbon.
That's so funny. I love it. The Geddy.
This is awesome. She's
around on these pedals. And the whole Moog thing became... I said, we need some bass pedals. So basically went out and bought a Moog Minotaur, which is like and the pedals. And Susie, you know, but it was just a... thing that we needed.
I'll tell you what I really loved about it was that when I was a kid at school, at grammar school, you could book in to play the big organ in with all the pedals. And I loved that. And I just about touched, but I loved all that. Dum, dum.
Yeah. Cool.
So I'm there like with the keyboard now going, oh yeah, you know, after a while. And then as you say, you've got to work out how you're going to sing as well, you know. I was, what I need to do is have maybe a symbol on my head or something.
Nancy and I both actually taught organ when we left South Africa and got to this country. We taught organ to retirees.
To senior citizens.
See, you don't say senior citizens. In this
what
country.
Do you say? Old people?
Retirees. No.
Mature people.
Well, I'm
mature
a senior
elders,
citizen.
Elders.
Oh, of the tribe?
Okay. So...
I've got a real soft spot for older people. When I was a little kid, I used to ask all my grandparents and my grandmother's friends, tell me your stories, you know, because they've
been
and I was fascinated by them. And I thought, well, I'm going to be like you if I'm lucky one day. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to teach me and tell me their adventures, which had better prepare me. And I think that what we need to, I get on a bit of a soapbox here because I think we really need to look after our elder community because they've got wisdom, they've got stories, and we need to really value and connect our communities in for the kids all the way up to the great grandparents. We all need to be out in Europe. So one beautiful thing is that you get the kids out with the parents, grandparents,
and the grandparents, great grandparents.
Exactly, but they all socialize together.
Yes.
See, South Africa and Kenya was like that.
Yeah.
This country, not so much.
Not so much.
And I think that's a disconnect.
Great grandparents have really good recipes. Really good recipes.
I remember when we were in England, one of our relatives, elder relative, I had like bronchitis or something. She goes, come over here. I'll give you a little Indian brandy. And I'm like, she's my favorite grandma. She did good. She did good.
Yeah, but it worked, didn't it?
But to go back to the organs, when we were teaching, they got into a point where you could just play a chord or just a one finger chord and they would have the rhythm play, which is a pre-recorded, like Lowry and Esty all did these, Lowry organs did that. And it was really cool because it helped the elders. It was songs that they knew. And we watched, folks who had gone through a stroke and couldn't move, start to move.
To play.
We watched if they've lost a wife or a husband and gone in depression and turned towards alcohol, pull out of that and be able to play music and have a social thing. So it was a really cool thing. But the whole pedal thing was awesome. When we had our band in San Diego many years ago and I dated the bass player, then we couldn't
never
do that anymore.
Ever do that.
And the band quit and had a big fight on stage, drumsticks flying up people's noses, the whole thing.
Oh,
and so Nancy
was awesome.
Nancy was like, no, we can go out there. I did a solo thing with my guitar and it's like ding ding, la la la, ding ding, la la la. Nancy's like, no, but we could do the bass on the keyboard. It just doesn't, it's not the same. You need to have some kind of bass. Like, to me, bass is the bass and the drums. We call it the foundation. Oh. You got nothing without that's the soul part to me. And you have to have it's the cojones.
You see, I still believe, like, on my keyboard, I had a Roland keyboard, and I bought this orchestral score for the Grand Canyon, and I never got to do it because it was way beyond me, but I was going to play all the different tracks of the music according to the orchestral score and then record them singly and then put them together and be my own orchestra. And one day I'm going to do it. I swear.
I'm going to drink a lot of wine.
Yeah.
For you.
Because I think it would, if you could do just one symphony like that, then you know you're going to keep doing more and more, and just think of all the things you could do.
Absolutely. Well, I think, producing records is a similar sort of thing. I mean, of course, you're using different musicians to do it, but I mean, on Lens of Curiosity, I mean, as I said, Susie's so incredibly talented and multi-instrumentalist. I mean, she's ended up doing a lot of the stuff. I mean, the vocal harmonies, for example, she'll just go and do 20 takes of a vocal harmony and then layer it all up, you know. And she's really quick at it, you know. And then I'll say, right, can you stick some keyboards on this now? And she'll go, no! And then she ends up...
no means yes.
So this is where the old bass pedal again, and she starts the bass pedal, and
no.
Oh man, So it's crazy. But I think what you're saying about doing something like that, of actually constructing an orchestra yourself, is such a beautiful thing to do. And it's you know,
and you know how much you would learn.
She should do it at the Supertone Studios.
And she should.
Absolutely. And then after, if I do that, then I'm going to do the Time Warp.
Excellent.
Yeah, just a step to the left.
That's right.
And just a jump to the right. Oh my gosh. So Hillary, are you going to go back? Are you going to go back and see them perform? Like when?
Oh, we would love to be there for this next tour, but it's just not going to be possible with all the restrictions and everything at the moment. It's still so difficult. But we're hoping eventually, when things get a little more realistic, to have them come over this side of the pond and do an American tour.
We'd love that.
And, but I will only allow them to do it if we can, if Craig and I can retire and take care of their merch stand for them. That's all we want to do. That's all we want to do.
Well, she's already got the, okay, stand up again. Come on, do another. Everybody's going to see. I had a crazy dream t-shirt. You know, she's got it. She knows how to model it, you know, and she could give you, she could do wine tastings according to the music, pair the music and wine. I mean,
you got it.
You know what? Yeah. How about a nice big wine glass? Not the little fancy one, the big one. And at the bottom, it says, I had a crazy dream. So you empty the glass, there it is.
That's genius.
Genius.
I like that. I like that. I like that. I like that.
So, I can feel a collaboration.
I like this.
I can see it, yeah.
I'm liking this. So everyone, again, Hillary's article is up on blendradioandtv.com. We'll be in the upcoming issue of Celebrate the Arts magazine. Very excited about that. We took our Big Blend magazine and gave each of its departments, which has its own radio show for years, its own magazine because we're bored and we don't have anything to do but drink wine and listen to music and travel. But I know really it'll be out soon. So very excited that you guys are all going to be a part of that. The album again is The Language of Curiosity, one of the best album titles on the planet. Great album. It's out November 5th, but you can order it now. Go to starlight-campbell.com or shop.starlight-campbell.com. Either way, you'll get there. And we're going to close with Lay It Out on Me, from the album.
Another great song.
And by the way, keep up with Hillary also, because she is the wine queen. Yes. Go to northwindswineconsulting.com. She will help you with your wine and your wine tasting room.
My pleasure.
I know we gotta go like wine tasting, Hillary.
Hey, anytime after we'll Harvest, California. We're fair game.
We're coming through California in February.
Excellent.
Beware, everybody. It's loud. It's loud as we drive.
Yeah, whatever we're allowed to do.
We're loud. We're very loud. All policemen know when we're driving through, and then we tell them that we're just wanting you to know about the latest music. Latest independent music. It's a service to the communities. But lay it out on me. Tell us that you want to give everybody a little insight to the song. Lay it out on me.
Well, okay, well, Lay It Out on Me, it's one of the songs that, because I sort of indicated before that we either write, I write virtually all of it, or Susie writes virtually all of it, or sometimes we write them together. This is one that I sort of just did the lyrics. Susie came up with the line, the little motif, and it's basically a slow blues, but it's a very British sounding record. It's more like an early Fleetwood Mac thing. I mean, Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac before it all changed. The Americans coming in, you know, but the original.
Listen,
British.
Peter Green is the god. Like, to me, he's one of the top people in the planet.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorite guitarists in the world. So anyway, sorry. Yes.
Well, no, not at all.
I love him.
And the thing is, with Peter Green, that I was always a big devotee, and of course he was a big devotee of B.B. King. You know, that's where he got all this stuff from. But this song is about that, and it's a song of a tragic love affair, basically, and a song of quite despair but at the end of it, you know, they do love each other. And you know, Lay It Out on Me is that love, talking about love.
It's love. It's about love and passion. Yeah. Love is an anchor. It's a sign, a decree. It's like, it's everything, you know? I love about the way that Simon did the production of this is there's so much space. It's not overcrowded.
I like that.
Very, very naked in this song, but you can actually, if you close your eyes, you're walking in the forest. You're there with us, you know? And the beauty of love.
Mm-hmm. What are you two doing after this?
Yeah,
everybody
want to
guess?
Well, actually, I'm going to be...
I think
cooking dinner?
Please, some type of amendment. We don't have it over here, but whatever amendment it is, the third, is it?
The fifth amendment. Oh, the fifth.
Yeah, that's why they call it a fifth wheel.
Yeah.
You guys take care, and we love the music. It's such a pleasure meeting you. Thank you, Hillary. You rock, lady.
Yeah.
She rocks the music and wine world. And she rocks wine, music, and merchandise.
Yeah. What there more do we need?
Thank you so much.
Swim in the ocean. bask in the sun. I gave